from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the net for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the net." When they have done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their net begins to break. So they signaled the partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came to fill both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knee and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companion were astonished at the catch of the fish by the taking. And so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, Simon's partner. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be fisher for people." So they pulled their boat up to shore and left everything and followed him. When Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered in leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And Jesus ordered, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offering sacrifice that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more. So the crowd of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. One day, Jesus was teaching. A Pharisee, teachers of the law, was sitting there. They have come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some man came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat, trying to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to the door to this because of the crowd, they ran up to the roof and lowered him on the mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friends, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to think to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew that they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say that your sins are forgiven or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he says this to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them and took what he had laying on and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and say, "We have seen a remarkable thing." This is the Lord's work. I read a little bit extra. So first of all, I have to apologize to the worship team. I snuck in a fast one. The title of today's sermon is supposed to be Unfathomable Grace. But as the process this week, things change. It did change. And I don't want to throw a wrench in it. Today's sermon's title is actually Faith Works. And I changed it the last minute without telling the worship team, so do not blame them. But hear me out. I was struggling with Luke 5. I was really don't want to do Luke 5. I was wondering if I could sneak in the fast one and get to Luke 6. Would anyone notice? Because this year I'm cruising from Luke to Acts. Why? Luke 5 contains some of the most known parable to anyone. Anyone who have been to any middle school, Sunday school would know. It is that the Jesus calling up Peter. Jesus healed a leper. Oh, I used to could not say leper and say leopard, like, wow. So Jesus healed a leper. Jesus healed of a paralytic. Who hasn't heard of these stories? And it's my duty that I don't want to put you guys to sleep. I was like, what if I preach that? I was wrestling. Which one do I preach from? Do I get all of them? So as I'm thinking about this is like you're actually hearing this whole week long how my mind's been processed. I feel really bad. It's like I'm asking him to dust out something from the back of the memory. It's like you're looking for some old toy from the back of your closet, a monochrome Game Boy maybe. This is what this seems like. It's digging out these parables. So as I'm thinking in your mind, what would they say? It's like, yeah, I know this. I can already think that it's like maybe Jordan was rolling his eye back. It's like, I know this one already. Well, Jesus was preaching by the lake, and he said, "Yo, Simon." I actually wrote this. It's like I'm thinking with Jordan's voice. "Let your net down." "Well, lots of fish." Peter say, "Wow." Jesus say, "Follow me. Be a fisher of men." That's it. End of story. I was like, wow, that's not too exciting. Then I'll think about it, and it's like, Jesus again was doing some Jesusly stuff. And then he ran into a guy with really bad skin problem, beyond proactive. I actually said it, beyond proactive. Jesus say, go, bing, his skins get cleared up. And then let the priest check it out. That's the end of the story. That's another parable. If that goes on, my job will be easy. I've unfortunately, lunch haven't come in yet, so I can't excuse you guys that quick. And then the last one, Jesus going in the house. We've got one of those non-California roofing compliant structure roof, removable roof. I'm sure Uncle Philip would not like that. That roof is not safe. You can't stand on that roof. And then it got some Mission Impossible music. And then it's people like, dun, 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 dun. It's like dangle the guy down there right in front of Jesus. And Jesus like, pick up your mat and go. So what's the moral of the story in here? Jesus is actually an amateur fishing pro. Jesus like, good skin care. Hydrate your skin. This is in the Middle East. It makes sense. Or for those who come through the roof will be healed. That's what I'm struggling with. And I can't come to it, which one it is. As more I dig, and I feel like I'm digging in a hole. And this is where I actually believe that the scriptures comes alive and is teaching me a humble lesson. And I'd like to share with you what this humble lesson is. I think I see something, and I'm going to share with you. As coming into chapter 5, I learned it in like when early this year, Chris was coming us to teach us how to read the Bible. I noticed something. I used one of those tool sets. Coming into chapter 5 and chapter 4 and 6, it's happened to a lot of parable, a lot of story that Jesus was in, Luke was writing it, was interacting with mass of people, groups and groups of people. It's 4 and 6. But in 5, it's actually talk about 4 individual incidents, 4 specific persons. They all got a specific person. Peter, the leper, the paralytic, and actually there's calling of a Levi, of a tax collector. But for time constraints, I'm just going to unpack the first 3. And then I think there's the stories in it. I think the lessons that I found, it's the lessons about faith. I mean, who knows what faith is? We always hear about it. Let's be faithful. Sometimes when I'm thinking about this faith questions, is faith is almost like some church currency. Do you feel like it? If you're more faithful, more things can happen to you. Well, how do you get more faith? It's almost like a Dow Jones index. Today's faith index is very high. Lots of miracle could be happening. How do you get faith? How does it work? What is it? I mean, are you faithful? People seem to be calling each other faithful. But what does that really define? So today I want to try to see if we can unpack some of this. So today we want to talk about the first things is what faith is. And then there are some points to that. And then what faith does. What would that? What is that? What does that happen when you enter into faith? And then lastly, we're going to talk about a bit of what faith is not. So the first point I want to unpack what faith is. Before I go in there, I want to paint you a picture of what I see faith is. Faith is a door. Like Jesus called himself the narrow gate. I'm the way. I'm the path. So see, Jesus is a doorway. But this door, what does door demand you to do? You have to walk through it. Right? It calls you to walk through it. So that means faith, it has to be equated with action. If your faith is not living out faith, it is not faith. In dictionary, it says faith is actually... I suddenly got nouns and verb crossed. Which one is the action? Verb. Faith is a noun in dictionary, but in spiritual life, I believe faith is a verb. So let's talk about it. Let's filter through the 3 parable of Peter, the leper, and the paralytic and see how this plays out. And the first things I want to talk about it, faith you have to walk through it is action. Faith is belief with action. It's living out exactly what you believe. So let's look at Peter. The first point is this action. Is you have to let go. Let's see how it goes. From the moment that Peter was letting down the net, I mean, couldn't you imagine there's something interesting going on? Why would a professional fisherman listen to a carpenter? We always, when we say a fisherman, we always got in my mental image, it's that Chinese old guy with the long beard. He's sitting with the straw hat. It's like roll up pants and he's sitting in the boat doing his things. But when I look at it, I like the blue color, the roughneck type of people. For a season, I watched this TV show from Discovery Channel. It's called Deadliest Catch. You guys ever seen it? It's about all these commercial fishermen. Commercial fishermen is actually a bunch of rough people. They're the people that can stand in the sea. They can go in there and just take it. These people work 12-hour shift. And they're just standing in the barren sea harvesting. And these are not easy people. But for Peter, as a professional fisherman, listen to the carpenter. Something happened. He let go. I'm sure he wonders at the times and stuff like that. What would that be? And then as we're seeing in the scripture that actually there's a lot of people around him, would he be embarrassed? But something that come in contact with Jesus that caused him to let go. And as to my first point, is that he walked through that door. For whatever that he comes to understand of Jesus, he choose to behave as the way that he believed. He let down the net. I will follow up with this point a little bit later. In truth, that people doesn't like to be told what to do. I have a friend who recently just gave birth to a little girl. She's not even a month old. When we tried to give her advice, you know what she said? I already know. I'm a mother. For real, 2 months. 2 months. No one likes to be told what to do, right? Seriously. No one's in their professional life to be told what to do. You ever come in to go into someone's kitchen and tell them what to do? Even you are a Cordon Bleu Michelin 12-star chef. You go into someone's kitchen, you tell them what to do, they get mad at you. I'll give you another example. Drivers. Regardless you are a new driver or you've been driving for a long time, no one likes to be told what to drive, how you drive. Even though the person is out there, is parked all crooked, taking up 2 spaces, it's like, I've been driving 30 years. You don't tell me how to drive. People does not like to be told what to do. But faith makes you let go. You have to let go. It's the first action. And we're going through the second one. It's the leper. Today we make a joke earlier about talking about skin disease or acne and stuff like that. Actually, it's a really sensitive topic for me. I suffer from rosacea and acne for a long time. For the longest time, my faith was like, I could be the spokesperson for the moon crater because it's happened on both sides of my face. When I put in ointments for my rosacea, it will cause my acne to flare up. And my acne is on top of my rosacea. So let me just give you that. So I put in medication for rosacea. It will cause my acne to flare up. Throughout the years, my face is the crater, and every time people talk at you, they try not to look at my face. They try not to look at the bumps and the crevices and all the things, all the dirt buildup, and you can't help it. You try to exfoliate it, it will call it to go inflame. Summertime, when the sun beat on it, it will itch. It's got blood vessels that you can see on it. And it just, I feel bad for people looking at my face. They always do this. They look and they try to look at it and try not to be sensitive. But it is true. I see it. Imagine that. Leprosy is probably something 10 times that. It is a never healing wound. Even in rosacea with acne, I have good days. There will be good days that you can just hide it and then it's not so bad. It's not itching. It's not scaly. But leprosy is there. On top of it, it's contagious. It's contagious. By law, you can't live with anyone. And by law, no one can touch you and you can't touch no one. There's an old word in English called shunning. That means they treat you like you don't exist. You're a ghost. Everywhere you go, you shout, unclean, unclean. Imagine that if I have a back acne day, I have to go around school, acne, acne. Wouldn't that be annoying? Seriously. But this is what this person just have to live with. In verse 12, it said this man, he's an outcast and because he cannot, because he's a living pathogen. He cannot live among his people. And God knows how far or what hole he have to crawl out of. And then going to town, it's not like that. Those times and stuff, you go in town looking for Jesus there, hashtag Jesus was here. Do you even know what Jesus looked like? And he's cruising around town, unclean, unclean, unclean. And maybe the Bible said that he fall his face down in front of Jesus. But I don't know if I don't know who Jesus is, everyone who looks like a rabbi, I'm going to try to fall my face down in front of him. I'm just using my imagination. But however he is, however the process that he got in front of Jesus, that he fall his face down to Jesus, is, were you willing? Were you willing? Faith takes action. And sometimes these actions are hard. It'll make you look weird. I'm going to give it to you plain. It is weird. It'll make you stand out. When you like Jesus, when you're living in a life of faith, you be walking around in the world. You're saying clean, clean, because the world is unclean. It'll make your faith look odd. Lastly, I want to talk about the paralytic. A paralytic. From my personal experience, I am sure that Irene can probably understand me. This is personal experience. Taking someone to the hospital, it is not an easy task. I always feel compassion to those in the hospital because my dad requires to go to the hospital a lot, and this is in 2019, and we have Kaiser. It's pretty good, and he has a handicapped parking, and every time taking him to the pulmonary doctors, it is a group effort. My mom has to drive, and then as soon as she parks, I have to hop down. It's like a military operation. I'll run in there without even talking. I'll go get a wheelchair, wheel it out, plop him on it, mom take off, find parking. I go upstairs, talk to the doctor, translate, and then doctor always give prescriptions. I grab prescriptions. That was right about when mom find parking. Kaiser's in Santa Clara. It's a nightmare to find parking. She comes up, take over dad, take him to always got to go do lab tests. Is either urines or blood or even sometimes x-ray. And then I will go sit in the pharmacy to wait for his prescription. And I am doing the fast versions of it. It always kill half a day, and this is in 2019. The Bible says in verse 18. It's always funny that in children's book, it's always show for four person because it makes sense. You need four persons to dangle that Mission Impossible thing down. But it said it's in some man. So we know that it's more than three. We don't know actually how long. It never even tells us how long he was traveling from. Where did he live? So at the least, we can think of it as a group of people. It's a group. It's a group effort. Let's just say that they agreed on everything, and even one guy remembered to bring the rope to bring him into the Nazarene rabbi who has the power of the kingdom to heal. So what is the point for this? Oh, and they have to open up a stranger's roof to dangle this guy down. I'm sure someone would be yelling at them. You know, like I always imagine it's like with a Chinese accent, with saying in Chinese, but with the Jewish accent. You know, like how Jews always get the throat sound. So what is that? What does this say? This point is I wanted to address to you is faith take action, but sometimes it is a group action. You have to bounce it off of each other. Sometimes you just don't have enough faith. That's why you surround yourself with people that believe. And it feeds off. It feeds off. So one of the things that why I always push people for is to baptism. Baptism is the easiest way to identify yourself with Jesus. This is the easiest action. It is by a meal, by a bath and a meal. And I take a breath before I say this. A lot of people has been saying that they're wrestling with. I'm not accusing one person that I'm talking to. I know she's actually pondering. But there's a lot of people that's been in churches that I've been thinking, they've been thinking year after year, because actually I believe some of them don't even prioritize that thinking into it. And if you live for a long time, you've been calling yourself a Christian for a long time, and your life is not growing, you got to check your faith meter. Versus on hibernations. And in some case, you are faithless. Your faith cannot have no action. Sounds harsh. I even feel like a taste of metallic in my mouth. And I understand that. I understand that why it is scary. And on the second point I'm going to tell you, the second main point is faith. What will faith does to you? It is a scary thing. Because faith draws you deeper. It's my second point. Say faith is a terrible thing because you're coming into his kingdom. You walk through the door, you are in his kingdom, his will. And his kingdom, his will is like an endless ocean. You lose your footing. God is uncontrollable. You don't tell him what to do. He tells you what to do. And then he reveals things to you that you don't want to look at. It could be scary, and I totally understand. But know that he got you. That ocean is not to drown you. It's to surround you, it's to cleanse you, it's to love you. But understand that human nature, we do and afraid. So again, we're going to run through the three examples of three parables and see how this is faith being drawn deeper. So the first parable is, we have already gone through, is Peter, let down your net. But this is not that Jesus popped out from nowhere and Jesus let down your net. Jesus actually been in contact with Peter since chapter 4. Last time we talked about, if I jog your memory, that Jesus was preaching in his own hometown synagogue and he got ran out to a cliff. And we're going to throw him off the cliff. But after that, Jesus has been going around healing and casting out demons. And the very first group of people that he actually comes to heal, one of them was Peter's mother-in-law. And it was at Peter's house. He leaned over. It said that he rebuked it. Who actually healed like this? It just baffled and fascinated me. Jesus tell a fever, it's like, you suck. Go away. How would that? It is amazing. He rebukes sickness. And then she came being healed. And then on top of it, in verse 1, of chapter 5, verse 1, it said that there was two boats. And Jesus specifically got into Peter's boat and asked Peter to draw him out a little further. If you ask me, this deeper process before it happens to you, before you even know it. It's like the scripture saying that it is Jesus who is stalking Peter. Jesus is showing himself in a process, in a graduate, progressive process to Peter. For the moment that it was the right time, according to God, Peter, put down your net. This deepening happened before you know it. And there's another point to this. When Peter, whoever musters, was it a lot of faith, little faith? I don't know. But whatever it is, God sees enough. And he was just commit to it. He walked through that door. And there's something weird happened. There's something very odd happened. In verse 5, Peter says, he called Jesus master. He said, master, if you say so, I put down the net. In verse 5. But the moment he walked through the door, he fell into the oceans of God and become something way, way more. He found out how little he is. He's drawing into the deeper reality of Jesus. In verse 8, he say, Lord. In Greek, it said, Kyrios. Master and Lord. He called Jesus God. And then by his reaction, they say, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. If we look back into the Old Testament, then you see how Abraham and Job reacted to God. They freaked out. You cannot go in front of holiness realizing how unholy you are. This is the reality of it. He got into the deeper end of Jesus. He realized who he is. Jesus is not a rabbi with supernatural power. Jesus is supernatural power. Jesus is not just kingdom of God. He is God. He got into the deep end and he became to fear. But look at what God does. God even draw him in even deeper. He said, do not be afraid. Come with me. When his pinnacle is faith, he invite Peter in. That's what that deepening process is. And I understand why people will be freaking out. The leper. People who comes to faith, they want faith. I always hear these two things. I want to be a better person. I want to go to church more. I want to be nicer. That's what I want faith is. You know what it sounds like to pastor? It is that we are telling God that how far we will let you take it. We're telling you this is our boundary line. Make us nicer, make us cuter, make us more, speak more friendly. But instead, the deepening process that God comes in, he takes it. You are his. He draws you in. It's always more intimate, more closer, and more than you like. And I'll be honest with you. If you do not want to get intimate and get close to God, don't go to heaven. Really, don't go to heaven. That's the worst place to be. That's the place where he is everywhere. He is the ground that's sustaining you. You are becoming into God's space. It is a very awkward thing if you don't like him. What if the leper said it in his heart that all I want you to do is just to heal me? And think about that. In Chinese, we always does this like, 我不想麻烦你. Just make my skin a little better. Make it less pussier so I can get by without walking around unclean. But Jesus does not do that. He takes you in so deep. He takes you in a deep way that he's actually is all for you. He's healing this person holistically. That means when he takes you in deeper, he has your best interest in mind. You are out of control. He is in control. And look at what this does. And the first things he does is plop himself, his face down in front of Jesus. You know what Jesus does? Jesus could have said that. You be clean. He doesn't have to touch him. I will be ill. He's probably living in clothes that he haven't been. Probably his clothes are stuck to his wound. It's gross. It's crusted up. But why would Jesus do that? And Jesus does this thing. It's totally out of character. He checks Jesus walk over and he touch him. It said that Jesus reached out his hands and touched him. Why would he does that? Why don't he just command his rebuke it? He does it on Peter. He says, rebuke it. Bend over and say, get away. But he touched him first. This is the deeper end of Jesus. When he healed you, he knew exactly what you need. A leper is a person who can never touch someone, and no one can ever touch them. I look into a lot of my photos with Joanna. I haven't seen her in 3 days. She is at in-laws' house because we're busy. And I notice something that every time she's around, I put my arms completely around her. I love it when it's the worst day, or sometimes when I have a hard day. I just like to felt the hands of my parents, or my wife, on my shoulder, or a friend. Never underestimate what a human touch does. Jesus could have healed him, but Jesus chose to care for him in the soul level. Jesus touched down into his soul personal level because that's the thing that he needed most. It's all of control, all of character. And then on top of that, Jesus tells him that you go into the priest and let yourself clear it all. And why would Jesus do that? Why don't Jesus just let him go? Why would Luke write this down? Because it's not only that, Jesus is healing him in a holistic way. He's like, go in front of the Mosaic law and get your clean of health personal card. If you want to look at it in Leviticus 14, it's a long process and it requires sacrifice. It's to show him and give him and restore his social status. It might even restore his financial status because that day, think about it, Bob will have leprosy 4 years ago and have to disappear. People, you should care for him, send him food, but after 4 years, they just forget about him. One day, Bob show back up to work and everyone is stunned with good skin. It's what happened. And he said, he touched me, and I was healed. Always deeper, always closer, always more intimate, always not in your control. The last, I'm going a little fast. The paralytic. What was this going through his head when he's going through the roof? I was thinking about Pastor Tim, Peter. Maybe just give me enough mobility that I can go to the bathroom myself. I have lain in Kaiser for a long time, and every time I need to go to the bathroom, I need to hit a thing, and then two nurses come in, and my wife have to come in. One have to carry the Christmas trees of whatever back the things they're pumping into me, and another one is carrying all my catheters and stuff like that, and the third one have to make sure I don't fall down. That takes to go to the bathroom, and I hated it because I'm helpless. I just want, just give me enough mobility to stop troubling people. And then something even weirder happened. Jesus healed him. And he was saying that it was by their faith. Sometimes you just don't have enough faith. Jesus has gone one and beyond. Your sins are forgiven. And then if you look at it, it is even odder. And in verse 26, by him accepting it, that scandalous grace. You see the people around him? They all were astonishing and praising God. Sometimes the last part of this deeper actions is, the deeper into the faith is, when you get deeper into faith, you influence the people around you. You influence the people around you. I tell you the truth, it's not easy to come to Castro Valley on Wednesday night for prayer meeting. Because I'm not selling myself. I have to sometimes get here as early as 3 because I could not make it in here once it's past 5. I'll be stuck in traffic. But because Wednesday night, something happened. I'm surrounded by people who care about the faith. I'm soaking up from, I am being ministered by it. That's why sometimes this year's we always pumping up. Peter and I are always getting after you guys to care for each other is because that faith is influencing. Positively influencing. And last, I want to talk about what faith is not. Sorry. Kenya, you sleep? Okay. Sometimes I get kind of bent out of shape when I'm watching these theologic lessons, especially quite a bit of them is from the media. Music, Christian songs. They're good Christian artists. I'm competent singers. Especially when I watch a Lifetime Network, Oxygen Network talk about teaching faith. I get upset. I get a little bent out of shape. From what I understand and what I research is always teaching about two different kind of faith. It is not really what we want to talk about. He's talking about these things is called blind faith. This is exactly what the Bible is talking about. Now I'll give you little things. Let me give you the formula of what faith is, according to what I see in the Bible. It is evidence, information that was presented to you, and you process it. You wrestle with it. You see if it works. And if it works, you come with the convictions. Does that sound complicated? This is the same process you're buying oyster sauce A or oyster sauce B, Lay Gum Gay or ABC. You look at it. You look at the fact, right? You go to a vacation spot, you research it, right? You buy a cell phone, you do the same thing. Recently, I switched from Verizon's to Google Fi for the specific reason that I can get better network over here. And before I signed into Google Fi, I read exactly what it does. I read the review. I talked to people who has it. Are you happy with it? What's your monthly bills like? I done my research. Information was presented to me, and I evaluate. I wrestle with it. Is it good? Pros and cons. No perfect solution. And then you make a conviction. You move over there. Of course, Verizon give you a hard time. They try to give you some monies and stuff like that. But once you make a conviction, you walk through the door. Same thing with everything that you're learning. In a basketball game, you listen to the coach, right? Coach presenting to you a new play. This is how you dribble the ball. This is how you pass. This is how your footwork goes. In the musicians, it's the same way. What is it different? Faith is the same thing. You have to take that information. You have to personally process it, and it will come out. Eric, can I have the PowerPoint, just the second PowerPoint with the Bible verse with Hebrews 11? And in the beginning of Luke, it said that when Luke wrote this book, he wrote, was like, I talked to the witness and their account and it is carefully investigated so you may know. Nowhere is that his background. The Bible verse is one. And I try to be not biased. I'm drawing out two English versions and then two Chinese versions. And then seeing if you're looking at Hebrew 11:1, the first one says King James says evidence. You have to look at the evidence. There's multiple eyewitness account of evidence. You talk and you look at evidence, information that were presented to you. 证据明证, assurance. Nowhere is said that this is blind faith. It is true that today that people say that the church is not growing is because we're not faithful. Yes, you are not. Because we can fully tell who is coming to Bible study and is not. Now I'm getting a little burned up over here. I need to tell you how you can grow your faith. Yeah, look at the evidence. See God's work. I see always a sign over there. It is a sign, I think, from Chinese Bible class. You look at it. What does the context say? What does the author say? What is the literature style? It's you unpacking. You're doing a forensic of it. For what? To examine the evidence. If you want your faith to grow, not by listening to. Okay, Christian musics are good. You want to listen to some famous preacher? Good. Those are called spiritual junk food. You don't really know them. It makes you feel good. But the Bible, I tell you what, if you want your faith to grow, it's the Bible. It'll make you feel awful at the beginning. It's to teach, to rebuke, to instruct. No one wants that. But if you want it to go, let go. If you think this is or what we are preaching out here, it's not full of air, examine it yourself. And it will take a while. It will be hard. And you will look weird. And it will take a group to walk through that faith. But what it does is end up, it was going to take you deeper into it, into God's space. I'm not kicking anyone. My father is a Bible translator. tell you how shabby it is, but not until 30 years, in my 30s years, he actually make me sit there, would not answer any questions. He make me sit there and wrestle it with myself. I hated him for it. Now I thank him every day. Tell you, everyone that I know that who's park yourself in front of the Bible to a point, it is tedious. You read it from book to book. I have timestamps on most of my book. How long does it take to read them? Sometimes it takes some words upwards of 8 hours to reading a whole book. But I tell you, at some point, it clicks when it starts speaking. It is wonderful. I'm going to close with this, and this is my very last point. Faith takes time to grow. Actually, there's two incidents where Peter let down the net. Did you guys know that? There's two incidents in the Bible. One is recorded in the Gospel of Luke, and Luke never talked about the second one. And in Gospel of John, they talk about the second one, never talk about the first one. And this is why we have to read this concordantly. First time Jesus took Peter into his deeper space, he said, cast down the net. In John 21, that when Jesus died and resurrected, go back and find Peter. And Peter, I believe this man is all lost hope. He had walked through Jesus for 3 years. What kind of stuff that you will see to walk with Jesus in 3 years? The stuff recorded in the Bible is a fraction of what he did. You rolling with walking miracle. After that, he still managed to betray Jesus 3 times. And when Jesus was buried, he was all lost. And then guess what it is at John 30, 21, it said that he went back to his old job. He went back to Gennesaret to become a fisherman because that's all he ever knew. Something weird happened on that day. He was also not catching fish. He was having a miserable day and he heard a voice. It said, Peter, cast down the net. And I think it's something that because he done it off a muscle reflex. He just put down the net. But when he experienced the same thing again, it was so heavy. In John 7, actually, he pulled out 153 fish. A lot of people talk about what 153 means. But you know what I think, why John wrote it down? Because when John talked to Peter, Peter remembered that day. This is the second time this happened to him. It said that even weirder that Jesus was waiting on the shore with bread and fish. Jesus didn't need the fish. Jesus needed Peter to remember what is it like to be the first time. Faith grows. You will stumble and you will fall. I do. If you find out how often I fall in my faith, as in my life, you will not want to hear me preach. But that's exactly why I'm coming here and pounding my chest and tell you that your faith can grow. It's not from theory. I'm the master of failure, but yet God call. Peter happened twice. I think I betrayed Jesus more than 3 times. I'll tell you that. But yet he still calls. Before he draws you in deeper, it is always he had you. Before you even find out what happened, he's already drawing you deeper. The good thing is God is so relentless. He doesn't even know when to park it. When he's on you, he's on you. So you have to respond to it. Faith grows. It takes you to a doorway on a whole new different world. And it needs to be grow. It needs to be respond to, and it is in his word. And make it available. And if you have questions, ask the Holy Spirit. I'll do my best. Talk to Uncle Ivan. Talk to most of us. Love to geek out with you in the Bible. Look at how happy Chris is. He go full geeked out. I admire that man. He's waiting for you to discover and don't squander your chance. Hey, I know that you guys have basketball, music, trying to be a doctor, SAT, job project, travels and everything. But you know what? As long as you make it coming to spend time with God in your devotions, time into your top 10 things in the world on the day, I consider it good. I don't even hold you that you want to do it every day. I know you can't do it every day. Find it twice a week to park yourself down and have a conversation with God. I'm shooting my bar low. Help me out. Help me out. Let me close with this prayer. Father, we come before you. We need you more than we need.